welcome allies to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So we're all diving into the dark right now, diving to Halloween, October 31st, but true Halloween mid-season will be November 7th. But this is one of the cross-quarter holidays really celebrated by all indigenous people and by the indigenous mythological DNA running through our bloods. It is called one of the four gates of power. And this time period, the Scorpio time period, is about diving into the dark. So the new moon was yesterday. Its image, the metaphor for that degree, was a youth carries a lit candle in a ritual, melding one's energies into a deeper matrix. Passing on the light overcomes our fears about our own flames going out. Feeling of nearness to mysterious forces. We go, ah. So let us team, you know, all of the dynamic listening community, let us dedicate that we have come to make the world more beautiful at this time of dire beauty. We know that the Venus realm, Venus in Scorpio, the power of death and transformation, Venus says art is not pretty, decorative merely, it is powerful. It is the agent of death and rebirth and transformation of a person or a community. Our great ally, first guest on this show, James Hillman, reminded us that the opposite of aesthetic is anesthetic. Either we have a living sense of beauty or we're asleep, which means we can't even have a democracy because we're asleep. So beauty, there is no solution to anything in the world but beauty, and this idea of light, being a light. So we have, there are many things to encourage us, but more than perfectly, our guest this week is Lily Ye. I was just rewatching her Bioneers plenary presentation from a year ago, which I highly recommend if you go to her wonderful website, which is, Barefoot. I'm gonna muff it up here, but we'll find it. But you can see this plenary where she starts by saying, if you don't rise to the occasion, the rest of you will die. And she said, so I was scared to be a coward. And she has indeed gone into many, many daunting places to make beauty. She is the author of Awakening Creativity. Terry Tempest Williams says about her, Lily Ye changed my life completely. And if you read this book, your life as you know it will begin to change as well through the vibrancy of art in action called love. Lily Ye is an acclaimed visual artist who has worked with students and community leaders and teachers in Canada, China, Ecuador, Ghana, Rwanda, Kenya, Syria, Italy, North Philadelphia, and across the United States. She's considered one of America's most innovative urban designers and social pioneers. In Awakening Creativity, she takes the students of the Dandelion School, the only nonprofit organization in Beijing that serves the children of poor migrant workers coming from 24 provinces. And we will be exploring this work. She is the founder of, Barefoot Artists, barefootartists.org. Thank you, mind. Lily, you founded Barefoot Artists, a volunteer organization that uses the power of art to revitalize impoverished communities. Ye is also the co-founder and former director of the Village of Arts and Humanities that has brought to life over 200 abandoned lots in the most distressed districts of North Philadelphia. So our theme right now is beauty out of darkness. We are invoking Akilandeshvara. She is the goddess of the power that comes from being broken. She rides on her fear. She rides on crocodile, like our guest, Lily Ye. So welcome, Lily Ye.
I'm so honored to be on the program. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so delighted as I watched and read your beautiful book with pictures of before and after. Nothing more wonderful. But maybe we start with your dedication to the power of being broken. Your use of mosaics to make beauty and joy from brokenness.
Yes, yes. I think the mosaic is the medium for healing. It's very appropriate because, in a way, we are all broken. But in the destitute and traumatized places, the brokenness is more exposed. And so mosaic, the broken pieces, but through working together and imagination and daring action, we transform brokenness into beauty and joy. That's our hope for the future and for healing of family, community, society, and the world.
I don't know of anything more important. Part of it is, you know, the dance of what we call, you know, mythologically Venus and Mars, where there's Mars, too much heat, too much testosterone, too much drilling, too much war and killing. Venus, you know, to invite the energy that went into war, which you do, into art, intimacy, kinship. It was, and so I love, you know, we can go anywhere. There's such a vast area of what you have to offer. But I love in Philadelphia, you said your guide was Joe Williams, who was living in an abandoned lot. Can we go into broken people and inviting them to be guides? Yes.
Yeah. Well, Joseph Williams, Jojo, he lived in a house renovated kind of from a broken home, and lived in next to a broken lot, and he just kind of did whatever he need to make a living. So when I first went to him, because he's very talented, but he couldn't find the right place for the world to discover his talent. So when I first went to him, he actually ran away from me. He didn't want to do with anything this crazy Chinese woman looking and doing things. But finally, I tracked him down. I talked to him. I didn't say to him that I come to help this community. I come to help you. Opposite, because I needed help. I simply say, Jojo, I need your help. And that just equalized the playing field, opened up a new open space. That's the abandoned lot. And we all can come into this lot with our talents, imagination, no discrimination, and we can be all on our strength. That's the first moment of transformation, both for him and me. That's when I realized that art is not just about making something beautiful, or it's really a process, a space making. It's a effective tool to cut across like a gender, class, you know, and a class issue, and directly open a new democratic space where all who wants to make a contribution are welcomed on equal footing. And so I think for when we talk about democracy, don't forget that action, imagination, and art are powerful tools.
Yes, no, absolutely. I so love what you're dedicated to. I am completely inspired, because I was feeling kind of grumpy and alone myself when I turned on your presentation and opened your book, and I'm like, yes, this is
together.
Together. No, exactly.
Yeah.
That we.
I want to comment on what you say about Mars and Venus. That is so appropriate, because Venus and Mars, they are so close, you know. So the beauty we are talking about is, there are different kinds of beauty. Beauty you can acquire to adorn an individual, to adorn our homes, or beauty that we look in reverence in museum and so forth. But the beauty in community healing is really a relationship of Venus and Mars. It is intimately connected to darkness, and the beauty is wrestled from the heart of darkness, like the lotus rooted in the deep muddy water, like life itself, confusion and full of conflicts. But if we be aware of the darkness and stay in the light and use to connect to our innate creativity, then we thrive and grow towards the light. And that is the perfection and beauty and radiance of the lotus flowers used in Buddhism and many oriental icons.
And the tree of life, which you have encouraged in so many places, the beautiful one in North Philadelphia and in China at the Dandelion School. And yes, that is so perfect what you say, the balance of Venus and Mars, you know, again, and all the words you use are perfect, because Venus in the mythological, astrological language, Venus is beauty, art, intimacy, inviting, you know. So it says the artist in all of us, we invite the artist in all of us, is the person most intimate with place. And
yes.
So you're doing that, you know, in all fairy tales, because you also mentioned that your work, once you start to make the mosaics, then the stories begin to pour forth. There's the visual and then the audio. And great storyteller Gioia Timpanelli says all fairy tales are about intimacy with place. This tree, this school, this badger, you know, to mend the broken fabric of community. And I love what you say. You say community building is always two steps forward, one step back. So we shouldn't
be... Two steps forward, two steps back.
Okay, three steps forward, two steps back. Better. That's much better. Yeah, so we want to also compost our, you know, discouragement, going, no, here it is, let's go, steady, make it more beautiful, step by step, you know. And And I think that's what your book, Awakening Creativity, you know, the Dandelion School Blossoms, is so good, because there's nothing more seriously fun than seeing before and after photos.
Well, I think that the before and after, the beauty and the co-creative process and the teamwork, working together, and even in teachers, reawaken their creativity through really looking at children's creativity, their students. And I think that's what really transform not only the physical environment, because that's only the first part. Then through that participation, it changed our mind and heart. It opened up the imagination, change our mind. That's the beginning, and change our heart. And that is what will change our world.
And a crucial point that you make and that you embody in your dedicated, beautiful life is the sustainability, that when you leave as catalyst and collaborator and inviter, it goes on because
you... It goes on. Yeah, my experience is that when I first started to go to North Philadelphia, inner city North Philadelphia, I think I needed transformation. Mm. Something was missing. I was looking for my authenticity and also the meaning, you know, what's the meaning of my life. So I have an urgency to make the park more than anybody else. And then, so the artist wanting to do something in a broken community, because why always broken? Because it offers new play field and open space where we don't have solution. That's where, when we can all be innovative and have the freedom and room to make mistakes and learn from that. So at the beginning, an artist wanting to do something in the community, for the community, then when you teach your methodology, then you work with other people to co-create. And then eventually, so it's first by the artist and then with the people. And then eventually you pass on the methodology, it's by the people. And when it's done, it belongs to nobody but everyone. It belongs to the people. And so that's a really democratic process. And it's a resource not owned by anybody else, but for the common good of all people. So it's a democratic process.
Yes, commonwealth. Yes, how wonderful. And I don't know if you know the myth of Chiron, but just briefly, he was the first Western mythological mentor. And he tutored all of the future cultural heroes to invite forth. And part of why I love you being kinned with him is that his students' tasks were against all odds. And when they'd studied with Chiron, they were always successful and triumphant against all odds. And so in Chiron's mythology, to be underestimated is considered a very positive strategic value. Because if you're going to pull off something against all odds, best to be underestimated. So I love that in what you do. And also, you know, when people come to us and say, nobody takes me seriously, we go, that's excellent. You know, you get into Chiron school, you're a future cultural hero. So you're mentoring, you know, again, but in a democratic fashion, because you're inviting forth what is there. We need you.
Right. Yeah. I think one more thing is that, like, we often discard or like hide our weaknesses, but our weaknesses is just the other side of the coin of strength and power. Because when I went into inner city, I was an outsider. I have no experience. I didn't have much resources. Never worked with a community or children. But I just have this really need to do something meaningful. And then so looking back, all those weakness really became the strength of the success of the project. And so when we feel weak and we feel not good enough, that's not a good enough reason. And also we have to be always careful not to disempower ourselves and feel, okay, I'm not artist, so I cannot do this. Only artists can do. Art is very simple. It's innate of us. It's not only about a product or a piece of music or sculpture and so forth. Art is creativity in thinking, methodology, and implementation. When we can creative and break out the barrier and the rigidity of our thinking, we are in a way like making art. It's creative action, and so we all can do it. And so we have always to cherish the innate power and give it opportunity to shine and make our voice heard and express ourselves.
Oh, yes, no, so wonderful. And you delineate, you know, a little bit of your story in Awakening Creativity, Dandelion School Blossoms, this beautiful new book that you have coming out right now, available. And so we want to speak really to the artist or all those who currently consider themselves as artists, because you have a journey of, you know, Chinese landscape art, and all of it serves you well. You know, I've been inviting humans, you know, that we want to feel small as a species, like in Chinese landscape painting, the vastness of nature and little teeny, teeny human figure. So you start with that, and then you go to studio art, and then it's still art in a constrained way. Can you tell us just a little bit, then you're looking for your authenticity in North Philadelphia?
Right. Well, what I did is that I had some degree of success, like was showing in galleries and teaching in the University of the Arts, the school that I love. But I feel something was missing, so the opportunity led me to North Philadelphia. And what I have experienced there, I think it's that brokenness, but you can't hide that. It's more exposed in certain things. And so we are more naked, more killed, and then the direct contact is more real. And doesn't mean that it's all sweet and perfect and all that. Not at all. Not like that. But there is something real, something deep that I have not experienced. And so that's eventually, I said, it kept on haunting me, the relationship, what happened there. Eventually, I said, this bad land is full of treasure, and I must go and explore. And so the more I go into it, I meet Jojo, and I meet a James Maxton, big man, we call him. He was completely broken, drug using, selling drugs, and devastated, and thought he would die at the street gutter one day. But through making art, through putting mosaics piece by piece, through people telling him, you are doing this for the community, it's beautiful, we love the color. And those positive comments, like a little drop of rain, just nurtured his parched heart. And he said, well, Lily comes back, I'm going to leave drug. And he left. And for 16 years, he was like a rock thrown in a pond. Because of his conversion, hundreds and thousands, we've been there, you know, 16 years working together. The people narcotic using drugs are meeting and fighting to get a hold of their own life. When people have sadness, they cry on his shoulder because he has descended so deep. He understood the whole human frailty, had enormous compassion. And so then through just meeting people like that, it just make me realize that broken places, broken community is my living canvas. And people's stories are the colors. People's talent are the instrument in our co-creative process. And when we work together, we create something wonderful, healing, magical, full of joy and hope. And that will guide us to our future. And that's how it happened.
Ah, that is so great. Yes, I feel deep Venus kinship. I'm so grateful that you are speaking these beautiful, beautiful words, that you are irresistibly eloquent, Lily. And I love also you draw that out of others. I apologize for saying Yu Ping Ping's name possibly incorrectly, but in your Lu Ping, I guess.
Lu Ping. Yeah.
Yeah, because she says, I am not willing to submit to the limitation of this situation. I yearn. So good.
For freedom.
Yeah, I yearn for freedom. Yeah. So none of us needs to be willing to submit to the limitation of this situation, personal or collective. You know, we yearn.
Individuals, each one of us is so powerful, so had the potential to transform. Just be in touch with the innate creativity and the light, and follow the heart, but learn all the things that one can in our school, our society can offer, and then maybe we'll be ready to respond to life's calling. When we step on that step, our path, we are guided. Then resources come to us, and then we will have that transformative power. We can help ourselves and other people. Each one of us has that potential.
And it is so perfect for now. Again, the discouragement, you know, the prefix dis means underworld, where we, you know, where our souls can speak more deeply to us. I mean, you work in the realm of discouragement, you know, to bring encouragement. You know, as you say, and we can't say it enough, the empty lot is full of endless resources, and all weaknesses become strengths, and the destructive element of a community becomes the creative element if it's invited. You know, and you have these beautiful angels in North Philadelphia, and you say, let's not look at our problems. And then you make this meditation park, which we must telepathically transmit to the listening audience, the vision of that from this abandoned, scary lot that everybody knows into the meditation park. Can you just vitalize that a little bit for us?
Oh, yeah. We have... we are blessed by many abandoned lots. So usually it's such a problem, you know, drug and dumping and whatever. But then if you use your creative our imagination, that can be transformed into something beautiful. And then who came and helped me? My crew were all adults now, but they all have drug problem. And so when we got, we got National Endowment, we got Pennsylvania. So this is a very visible project. And someone asked me a difficult question, and he said that, well, there are all this child abandonment, hunger, or domestic abuse and HIV, all these problems. Why don't you help that? And why do you dump the money into the ground in making the park? That's a very good question and hard to answer. After I thought about it, and I said, I cannot solve problems because the power is too limited, or bandaging, which will not bear any result. But I can create a new space by working together and explore together, come to a new solution. And so we made this beautiful meditation park. And this meditation park is all the broken people with broken pieces of shards. Not only the wall, we have a beautiful the tree of life from inspired by Islamic art, but the whole floor was covered by broken pieces and made in pattern. That's very hard to do in this time and age, but we did it in North Philadelphia. And that encompassed the beauty of Chinese Garden, Islamic courtyard, and we figured out all our broken people, we figured out how to work together. And that inspired so many people. And this is a place for us to retreat, reflect, reconnect, and recenter. And then we can find our bearing, and then we can face life with new energy and hope. And that's what is our meditation park for.
Ah, yes. Ah, let us all be there now. As a wonderful ally, Steve Behrman, says, the answer to the drug problem, improve reality. And so we say that's the answer to every problem, you know, immigration, improve reality everywhere. We particularly love New Orleans and the life of New Orleans, many great New Orleans people through, before and through and after Katrina, and so many of the, you know, really indigenous, multi-generation, deep roots in New Orleans people answered the same question that you were asked. They said, why are you putting this into pageantry and murals and art and costumes? You know, and they said, this is, you know, that is a colonized mind that asks that question. This is what gives community its soul and allows us to solve all the other problems.
Right, yeah. Right. Give us strength and inspiration and a vision for the future. Then we'd have the courage to move on.
And so you say, let's dress up in touch with light, and that you light other people's pilot lights, and let us all do that, you know, reciprocal blessing. So from North Philadelphia, you went to Rwanda, and we are going to wend our way to China. But Rwanda, death, destruction. And as again, you said, you know, that so often in your dedication, you have faced fear, you know, and then I just love to say again what you said, if you don't rise to the occasion, the rest of you will die. These moments, I guess, where the path opens and says, Rwanda, you know, go to Rwanda, beauty to the destitute, and the genocide memorial that you, how did, again, encouraging, inviting people to make this, yes?
Okay. I think usually Rwanda, of course, I think it's a most important part. I mean, I shouldn't say most important, but my recent very important project, because it deals with genocide, with survivors, and then a monument to host the bones of the victims. And and it's amazing, me, barefoot artist, really doesn't have a high-tech skill, doesn't have a lot of, I don't have a lot of resources, but somehow this longing to create prosperity, not the capitalistic prosperity, not owned by the corporations, by the few privileged, but a prosperity shared by all people. And I felt that through barefoot artists, we were able to accomplish that. In this survivor's village, of all victims of 100 families, no job, no income, no support, family support, and a lot of despair and no hope for the future. That's when 2004, when I first went there. But through working first with the art. Art cannot solve social problems, but it can create a wonderful foundation, very solid foundation for profound social change to happen. And so in that, that's two places, we don't know what to do. So we strike fire by creating art and making beauty. And when we strike fire, we, through the making art, we begin to organize community, because the families, they were thrown there. They didn't know their neighbors, and they didn't trust their neighbors. So they suffer in solitude and in their own homes in darkness. So while we were making art, we were painting simple decorations, and then we make mosaics and so forth. Then people are talking to each other. They begin to make connection, begin to build trust. And there are other very expert professionals, like Engineer Without Borders, and like medical people in universities, medical professions. They want to make an offer of their expertise. They want to serve the people, but they need to find a community that can receive, is organized enough to receive their gifts and their teaching and so forth. And then they begin to find us. So that's how art can make the invisible visible, can heal the wounded, can reconnect the broken. And so we make the village visible. Other people joined us. So through partnerships, through leveraging, through the power of turning the dark into light, the broken into whole. And that's how the village now is fine. It has gold, it has cow, it has different industries, it has microcredit, and it has water rain harvest water system, and we even brought a solar engineer to teach them solar panel making.
Wait, hold. Village. That's wonderful. Hold that image and that thought. We're going to take a very short break. Yes. Our wonderful guest is Lily A. We are going to turn. We are turning darkness into light. She is most inspiring. We will announce where she will be speaking in Petaluma on the 29th and also near Ukiah. And we will be back after a very short break.
She shook the constellation, the devil them crossed his eyes. She shook the constellation, the devil them crossed his eyes. She showered his head with quasar and made his tortoise cry.
Hold it down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Indigo skyship, make his voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Actist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So we are in the midst of a splendid hosting of our guest, Lily Ye, who, again, is making beauty and art, inviting beauty and art out of broken and desolate places and people. Those of us lucky enough to be in the Bay Area, Lily will be presenting on Saturday the 29th at 5 p.m. in Petaluma at St. John's Episcopal Church, co-sponsored by New Village Press, the Meta Center for Nonviolence, and St. John's. New Village Press is the publisher of her beautiful, beautiful book, Awakening Creativity, Dandelion School Blossoms, where you can see many of the visuals that Lily is speaking about now, and also presumably at the presentation. And then, Lily, you said St. John's is on 5th and C in Petaluma, and the event is free and open to the public. Holy moly. Doors open at 4:30, and there will be books available for signing. How wonderful. And then, Lily, then don't be late to that event. Be there at 4:30. It starts at 5, because then at 7:30, wait, you'll be at the City of 10,000 Buddhas near Ukiah. And can you tell us a little more, Lily, about where that is?
Yeah, it's in Tomas, on 2001 Tomas Road, Ukiah, and in the Buddha Hall. It's in the City of 10,000 Buddhas.
Wow.
I will be doing a presentation there. It's very tight, but I think it's that's the best we can do, and to spread the message of light and the power of each individual. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and will you be presenting? You'll have your books, beautiful books. Every library should have one, Awakening Creativity. Will you also have slides or?
Slides, yes. Slides and slide presentation.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Right.
No, if you're feeling broken and want renewed dedication, and let us all together now, team, by the power of Radio Mojo, say let us be inspired by the living art embodied dedication of Lillier, that we too, you know, have come to make the world more beautiful at this time of dire beauty, going, the partnership of turning, yes, making the invisible visible and turning into light. So, yes, and then we left you without, you know, in Rwanda, but you said so many perfect things. You said engineers without borders, all these things, but to come into a community, they need the structure, and art is what weaves the structure of receptivity for other help and connections to come in, other relationships, I suppose, really, yes?
Yes, yes. I think if people want to really do the healing work, a lot of time we talked about the methodology, theory, and if we really want to heal the world, heal the broken, we need to walk into the broken. Then we will find there healing our own brokenness will begin. That will begin the personal transformation, and from there will begin the community transformation. It's not always about the outside. It's always intimately connected to inward transformation. So one echoes the other, and it happens at the same time.
Yes, build living Buddhas, not pagodas, is, I guess, one phrase, yeah.
Right.
And yes, walking into broken places. So it is intriguing. So many people, you know, have, I think it's kind of waning now, maybe, but going, where can we move that is perfectly beautiful and safe and we'll be isolated from the dangers of the world? Shall we move to Hawaii? Shall we move to Ecuador? Shall we move to whatever? But, you know, as you know more than most, every place is in danger. There's no place to move that doesn't need everyone's help. There's no place to move to just retire and say, I've got mine. There's no possibility of doing that because the brokenness will find everyone, yes?
Right. Well, it's ecology. You know, there is the nature ecology, and there is the social ecology, and there is the human ecology. We are all connected, and so we are all responsible. And sometimes we might not be able to responsible for the big event, but we are responsible for our own action. And then if we do, we don't attend to how we live, how we take action, that has global impact. For example, what food we eat, and the consumption of water, and the car they use, it's all connected with the world. And it really starts very small, but in small action, connected become very powerful, big movement. And so when I was in Rwanda, you know, the genocide, the Hutus and Tutsis and so forth, all those people who kill each other, it won't happen in our country. No, it's not like that. It can happen anywhere if the people, individual, are not aware of the darkness in us, the egohood, the selfishness, greed and wanting and so forth. And then if we submit to that, then one drop of dark water, more drops of dark water, and more drops, and so it becomes a movement and clouds and whirlwind, and that will sweep us away. So it's each person's individual obligation to stay in the light, but not to obliterate the darkness, because we cannot. And darkness has a place in our lives because we need the winter and the night to rest. But we need to be aware of it, and then we need to befriend it, embrace it, that will become the light. Be creative, but stay in the light. That is our road to solve a lot of problems and create the hope for the future.
Yeah, because there is the saying that tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love each other. And I guess a great deal of your work also is tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love the earth. Do you feel it also that there is a global guiding earth wisdom story that is sweeping across, you know, again, dissolving false boundaries of nation states as you do, you know, into a unified sense of, yes, we can do this. We can bring the world back to blooming. We can cultivate what makes us proud to be humans rather than appalled.
Right. I think nature is intelligent, and we learn not to conquer nature, manipulate nature, but learn from nature. I mean, that's the whole central issue for, like, you know, pioneers and nature mimicry and so forth. So
yes.
We need to change our mindset, and we are all connected. There's no place safe if we act out of fear. But if we act out of courage, every place is a safe place. Every place is for us to transform and embrace, and then turning it into light and hope.
And again, as you embody and say, you know, again, is our manner of relating an offering or an imposition, that you are very clear that art is not to be imposed, but, you know, rooted in community, elicited, nourished, you know, our word culture, you know, if we look it up in a good dictionary, the first 3-4 definitions are, what do we grow? And then by analogy is human culture, what do we encourage, you know,
right.
And yes, Venus to balance the Mars and to invite the Mars going, no, not the unimaginative, cruel confines
right.
of war, but the energy, well, like what you did with JoJo or what JoJo did in cahoots with you, you know, to invite. I think it's also that invitation to everyone and to rites of passage, as you mentioned, people coming home from war, adolescents, everybody at every stage. You know, we need the awakened creative imagination of everybody. And
right.
yeah, and it is such a simple lacking thing, the invitation, but you are spreading it. You are spreading it. So we know you'll be in Petaluma on the 29th, and right after that you will be in Ukiah.
Ukiah, yeah.
And what are your current projects now? What is next for you?
I think I continue in. I have a project in Taiwan, continuing in China, in Beijing, and then of course in Rwanda. But the new project, very 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 important to me, is in Palestine. In West Bank, in a refugee camp, Balata refugee camp. Very important. It's the kind of the eye of the storm of an enormous political unsolvable tension two worlds. Yeah, right. I just did a project there. Create the Palestinian tree of life or tree of peace. Yeah, there, and hope I can go back and continue.
Yes.
And that it's a way of reaching peace for and struggle for human dignity, struggle for justice, not only for Palestinians, but Israelis and all humanities. But through not armed struggle, but through education, learning, understanding, arts and culture, and self-affirmation.
And
hoping. Yeah.
And I so love the realm of Venus, it says, you know, art is the template. Art is the invitation that invites power into the world. And when we offer beautiful things, power comes to animate it. You know,
yes.
I don't know if you saw The Cave of Forgotten Dreams. Do you know this movie? It's the
yes.
the 32,000-year-old. Yeah. And so, you know, humans always have invited, you know, the animals from the rock, the
yes.
sunlight to illumine the painting at the back of the cave on the equinox solstices. To invite these things in to animate the community's desirable story. That is part of, you know, what we know how to do but have forgotten. And you're, you know, reminding us, going, it's an invitation. Even just maybe we could do an homage to the magical cat as a wonderful example of, you know, inviting power into the world with serious whimsy. This was in Beijing, right, in the Dandelion School.
See, I love the word you use, invite.
Yeah.
And invite the power to come in. And then, so we must prepare ourselves to invite. And when you invite, means that you have room, you have space, you have the humility, understanding to invite the power to come in. And so we must first empty ourselves. And so when we come to do a project or into a community, and not is that we come to solve your problem, but we come in humble spirit to bear witness and to listen.
Hmm.
And then wisdom would emerge, because nature is full and people are intelligent and wise. So that's how you strike the creativity in different places. We don't have all the problems, but solutions are there and hidden in different ways. So like, even we have the best knowledge and so forth, and we must empty our heart and be humble in our spirit, and we must go to a place and to listen and see what comes up. Then the spirit will come, then we can invite the force to come in.
Yes, and just like the Cave of Forgotten Dreams, I mean, you're doing it in this beautiful book, Awakening Creativity.
Thank you.
But I did just want to invite into all of ourselves on page 117 the magical cat, because it's so suggestive. And when you speak about, you know, your work in Rwanda and your work in Beijing at the Dandelion School and your work in Palestine, like, you're also inviting in these protectors, which is so important to the innocent dignity of our child heart, you know, to feel protected and to have art that reminds us of more than just human around. So I do love the magical cat, because you said it was a utility room that was quite clean and lavatory, but you imagined the possibility of food attracting mice and cockroaches, so you wanted to put a powerful cat there as a guard. I love that. And you team out there of dynamic listeners, wait till you see this cat. It is so charming. You couldn't possibly not be beguiled and enchanted. And you put a scorpion next to the cat and a field of stars.
Yes.
And the scorpion is there because, you know, a potent scorpion amidst the swirling stars, as you say.
Thank you. Oh, that means a lot to me that you understood all the hidden meaning in that image. Oh, that means a lot.
Oh, no, that's great. No, I think, and I think that's the model that, you know, everyone's, the innocent dignity of our child heart way down deep there does understand, like, oh, look, the cat and the scorpion, that's great, it's protection, and we have more power here. And then you, under the supervision of teacher Fu Dao, you know, the students completed the mosaic. It's so charming. Because you can see the, I guess there's several magical cats around.
Yes.
But you know, the incantation, enchantment, you know, to sing into the world, you know, that which reminds us of beauty and help and support that is often invisible. So absolutely what you said, you know, making the invisible visible, we do love that. So here you are. Let me just remind people that it is, as you know, as you can hear, it is really a good feeling to etch our own broken lives against the dedication of Lillier, going, oh, I want to be more like Lillier in a good way. And you can feel that etching, because she will be, those of you lucky enough to be in the Bay Area, on Saturday the 29th at 5 p.m. in Petaluma at St. John's Episcopal Church. It's at 5th and C Street in Petaluma, and the event is free and open to the public. Doors open at 4:30, books available for signing. I would get there on time or early, because Lily is so dedicated and busy that even that night she's going to zoom at the door, signing book, like, here you go, I gotta go. Be inspired, because then she's on her way to be at 7:30. Ish.
At Ukiah.
I know, we might say 7:30-ish. But anyway, 7:30 is the aspiration and in Ukiah at the City of 10,000 Buddhas at 2001 Tomage Road in Ukiah, all Saturday night. So,
yes.
There you go. So, yeah, and you could follow her there. You could, if you start in Petaluma and don't have enough, you can go to Ukiah. It's wonderful. So, I love the, well, let's take us, you know, to China, which is the primary subject of Awakening Creativity, the Dandelion School of Blossoms, which is a school for the children of migrant workers, so pertinent globally in so many ways. And, you left it, I think of what you're doing as, you know, like the Chinese landscape painting, you know, so that people can find, you know, an infinite story of nature, a big story, you know, to ride out of their small story on. Does that feel right to you?
I think the Chinese landscape painting was where I experienced the kind of transcendence, time and space. It's like Zen gardens. It's things made of this world, but something happened. Maybe then you enter a different world, an enlightened Buddhist term, or a transcendent world that no longer you are restricted with time, the time, space, and so forth. And so when I left the Taiwan and I lost that space, in a way, what I do is a personal journey to return home, that spiritual home of that serenity, timelessness, transparency, but all powerful like sunlight. And so, and it led me through, not in the pristine places in galleries or universities or whatever, museums, but it led me through a journey in broken places, like you dive into the thickness of human suffering, conflicts and muddiness and so forth, but then not giving up in that moment of darkness, but continue to keep to penetrate my roots deep into the earth or in human psyche and struggle on towards the light. So that's how the root breaks through the muddy water, rise above the surface like lotus, and receiving the nurturement from the sun, eventually come to its poise, balance, and the harmony. And then when it opens up, just in its beauty and purity, and that's the world for me. And so, in a way, it's life, the essence of life. And when we are connected to that energy, each one of us has that potential, then we are connected to the energy of life that makes the sun rise in the morning, makes the season change. That's when the power of transformation happens.
Yes. And again, yes.
I want to just mention, you know, the Dandelion School is just an example of my long desire to help to think about, because I taught and work with many public schools and saw how our children were restricted, confined, and not inspired to learn and fail. And I said, is there a way to channel their energy, the destructive energy, into creativity, in transforming their school environment into something joy and celebrating? And Dandelion School gave me that opportunity. And then it's like a stone thrown into a pond. The ripple effect, the first one I got that I know of, is from Connecticut Darien High School. Their students went to visit Dandelion one day, and they were so inspired by the enthusiasm of the students, and especially the creativity, the visual images. They couldn't imagine a school campus can look like that, full of their vitality. And so they were empowered to reimagine their own campus. They have the state-of-the-art buildings, but they wrote that but bricks and white walls, it's lifeless. So they formed an art club and demand to do murals and make their heart's voice being heard. That's the first ripple of empowering students and to express themselves and make them make their needs felt and heard. Yeah.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yes, because many people drive by a horrible building going, looks like a prison, must be a school. Exactly, turning that around. And that is so thrilling that the Connecticut Darien School goes to Beijing, to the Dandelion School. Yes, cross-pollinating. Because one of the other qualities of Venus, Mars dancing in perfect, you know, dynamic balance that you mentioned, you know, is the function of the artist within us all is to paint doors in the wall of the reality police, you know, so power can enter the world, and especially at this time of year is when we honor that capacity, which is why you are so perfect. So you're going around the world encouraging yourself and us all to paint doors in the wall of the reality police, going, whoa. And I think that's what's so one of the many wonderful things about the book is you get to see concrete. How could one ever have imagined a thought? Concrete. Ooh, blooming with broken beauty, mosaics, tree of life, you know, and the Palestine Project. So heartening, because that's the way to go. I mean, I can, in myriad conversations around the world with, you know, hyper Mars testosterone, you know, guys, army, IRA in Ireland or whatever, when I've said, you know, in moments of, you know, in the secret room of the pub, you know, what's the solution to the problems in the North? And they go, oh, there's no solution, then there is a... And then I go, well, beauty and art and magic then. And these are tough IRA guys in the back of the pub in Ireland. They go, yes, a toast to beauty, art, and magic. It's the only way to go. So...
Wow.
Deeper underneath, I mean, exactly what you say, the invitation going, oh, you... I want to also just offer you something we're working on, which is that the oppressor seeks... the medicine of those he oppresses, but doesn't know that. So it relates in a Mars way. But, you know, it's like, you know, England needed the beauty and complexity of India, but it happened in a colonial form. America needs the beauty of Palestine and the Middle East and the power of blessing and beauty, but it only had the Mars form. So what you're doing and inviting us all to do is to create other ways of relating, to acknowledge that we need the beautiful medicine of the art of all cultures, and we don't need to go to war to justify it to as a compensation, and we go, no. So a redefinition of heroism, and there's so many wonderful young men, you know, that you've, well, you know, there's an old man, JoJo and everything, so you really did invite them into understanding that heroism is about beauty and art and kindness.
Kindness, yes, gentleness and kindness, and in empathy with the suffering of others. That's the ultimate compassion.
Right.
Yeah, be with, in company, and to suffer with. I think that's the good, you know, Christianity is the crucifixion, you know, so bearing the cross of all humanities to suffer with. And so that's the most powerful vehicle to peace and in the world. I mean, nonviolence, like Gandhi and like Martin Luther King.
And what you've also done, you know, drawing upon every part of your art learning career, you know, from Chinese landscaping on, you know, and also, you know, the syncretism, this idea of, mm-hmm. you know, crossing borders, cross-pollinating, you know, we need the awakened imagination of all cultures, all beauty now, because, you know, nothing else will work. You know, so it is kind of, it's come to this. We now have to do what we want to do. And I love, I guess it's on, in your book, you say, in Awakening Creativity, you say, every location is a place for creativity.
Yes.
Every day is a time for creativity.
Yes.
Every human being is a person capable of creativity.
Yes.
Let us strive head on, even with two steps forward, one step back, yes, and we march on the road of creativity.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, this is quoted from a very preeminent educator, Tao Xingzi. Yeah, but that's, he is right on. He understands the power of creativity. And I just want to say the one thing, that energy creativity is everywhere in all of us. Once we get in touch with that, we have a very big responsibility, because if we use that creativity to the dark force, then that's just what we see happening in the world, destruction, bomb, and of war and fighting. That's the Mars. And we have the responsibility to stay on the light, the Venus, the love, the gentle, the comfort, the cultivating, and that's the solution to world peace and hope for the future.
And why not, you know, all places that are, you know, metaphoric or literal prisons as well, you know, gardens and prisons, and looking at the concrete gateways to the schools that are so, you know, why not, you know, again, breaking these or dissolving these old spells. And the poetry that you elicit from, or that is evident in your book from so many of the students writing about, you know, their grandmother.
Oh, so powerful. Yeah. When we feel, you know, those are students of migrant workers, very low in social stratas. But if you read their poems, you hear their voices, make you cry. Where did that come from? It's from the deep, real feeling. And when you are in touch with that, that's a creative force, like water. It will find its own form in expression. And so images come out and poetry come out that just move you to tears.
That is wonderful. Poignancy is kinship, Lily Ye. You can hear Lily Ye in person. You can also go to barefootartist.org for her book. You can pick up a copy of her book Saturday the 29th at 5 p.m. at St. John's in Petaluma. And you can find out again more, and then also the City of 10,000 Buddhas near Ukiah. Thank you, Lily Ye. It has been a great, dedicated, inspiring kahoot to host you this hour.
My honor. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. And thanks always to our team. Thanks always to Andrew Chadwick. I was so enchanted. I almost forgot to thank Jill Montgomery, blessed being, board up out in Berkeley. I'm Caroline Casey, CoyoteNetworkNews.com, and we will reconvene next week with Daniel J. Mario and the Mars-Venus myths.